We give you praise. We give you glory. Be exalted in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. If you turn your Bible to the book of Revelations and you do a very detailed study of that book, you will see that John was given a guided tour through the corridors of heaven. You will also realize that you will never find Holy Spirit in the book of Revelation. Holy Spirit. The reason is because in the book of Revelation, every reality that you touch about heaven is the Spirit of God being operationalized in that civilization that is captured in that city yonder. Everything that is operational there is an expression of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is the essence of the civilization that you find in the realm of heaven. He is in everything you touch, everything you see, everything that is possible is made possible because of him. So he's everywhere. And that's why in that book you will not find Holy Spirit. There are a few things I want to bring to your notice. The atmosphere of heaven is established on 12 premises. Turn your Bible with me. Let's consider the first one. Revelation chapter 4 verse 1. Oh, I forgot to say good morning. Please help me. I'm high in spirit. Please help me welcome the person to your left and to your right. We are going on a cruise this morning. This is a message that God gave me for this conference. He gave me one message. So I was looking for where to preach it. All the times I had opportunity to stand on the platform, the message did not just quite fit until this morning. So we are going for a cruise. In the book of Revelation chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 1, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." So the invitation, come up hither, is what we call a summon. A summon is an attempt of heaven to interrupt your schedule so that you can partake or participate in an activity that heaven has invited you to be part of. Come up hither. And the moment the invitation was released, next verse. "And immediately I was in the spirit." This guy was invited to come to a certain place in heaven. And the first thing we see about the operationalized dimension of the Holy Spirit is transportation. Immediately I was in the spirit. And where was the call coming from? It was coming from the throne room. And the vehicle through which he was transported to the throne room was the spirit. So you now understand what I'm talking about. You will not see Holy Spirit there, because he is operationalized. In this verse, he is manifested as the transport mode. Oh, you are not here. Hi. I will change this sermon. I will look for another time. I labored. Jesus Christ. Hey, Lord have mercy. See, there are dimensions of the Holy Spirit. that he said, I should preach this sermon so that people can begin to experience it. The moment the guy received the sermon, the next thing that happened was that he just desired, okay, I want to go. You say, I should come, I want to go. And then the vehicle kicks in. The Spirit of God became a means of transportation. And the next place he finds himself is in the throne room. The center of the kingdom of God is the administration of God. And the center of the administration of God is the throne. That's where it all begins. That's where your calling came from. That's where your purpose came from. And if you are in heaven and you are not in the throne room, all you are going to be seeing are manifestations. But the engine room, the operational room, the seat of government, the seat of power is in the throne room. That's where it all begins. And John was transported right to the throne room. And there were many experiences he had there. So transportation is a capability that is obtainable in the Spirit. Come with me. The reason why there's need for transportation, you find in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, the Bible says that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So there are places in heaven. And many times God will need to deploy you to a certain place in order for you to have the experience that is needed, in order for you to gain the sufficiency that God is making available. This need to transport in the Spirit is a critical need, because some of the things you seek are domiciled in some places, locations in Christ Jesus. And the transport system of heaven, the Holy Ghost. I want to show you one or two things, and I may need to ask you to turn your Bible with me to the book of 2 Kings. I want to show you maybe two levels or three levels of transportation. First level, you will find in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5, from verse 21 to 26. 2 Kings, chapter 5, from verse 21. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is all well?" And he said, "All is well. My master had sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garment." And Naaman said, "Be content, take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of garment, and laid them upon 2 of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let them go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, Whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, Thy servant went no whither. And he said unto him, Went not my heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money, to receive garments, to receive oliveyards, to receive vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? This guy, Elisha, rejected the offering that Naaman gave him. When Gehazi saw the situation and he considered the current level of inflation that was in Israel at that time, he made his own personal arrangement saying that if my master does not need money, I need money. I need to do something about the house rent. I need to do something about my wife has been sending me text messages saying there's no meat in the house, no food in the house. So he wanted to help himself. And he went there and told a lie and got some gain from the people that were blessed by the anointing of his master. It was a classified movement. Nobody was aware of it. But when he came, Elisha shared an experience that he had in the spirit. It was an experience of transport. But you see, this first layer of transport is a transport that of the spirit. He was in the same location. He didn't move from where he was, but he transported in the spirit. And he said, "Did not my heart go with you?" Transport. Transport. It is possible for you not to change physical locations, but in the spirit you have moved. It is even possible for you to be transported in the spirit to a meeting where your enemies have gathered and they are discussing the next onslaught that they are going to take on your life, and you are there like a spectator. You cannot interact with the meeting because you are in another dimension, but what you are doing is observation. Transport is a valid possibility that the Holy Spirit can make available. I'm saying that in the book of Revelation, you are going to see his operationalized dimension. He is the essence of that level of civilization. And when you come there, everything you interact with was made possible because of his power. That's another realm of power that is beyond the type we see here. Because the Bible says, in this realm, we can only taste of the power of the age that is to come. But the age that we are talking about, everything is held up. Everything is maneuvered. Everything works. The system there is held up by the Spirit. That means we have the fullest expression of spirit reality domiciled in that civilization. And part of the things that are available on the strength of these is, first of all, transport. This transport, we are supposed to begin to taste of transport here before we enter into that space where transport is maximized by the Spirit of God. Are you with me? Now, Elisha is giving us an account of an experience he had, and he said, "Did not my heart travel? You left this place and my heart was traveling with you." And to show him that he was not guessing, he spoke about the experience that the man had. Transport. You realize that after this conviction, Gehazi had no comment to present. He was stripped of comment because his master transported. Do you still remember an experience that a king that was saddled against Israel, an experience that he had? He wanted to find out, to screen all his functionaries to know who was a traitor in their midst. And his commanders told him, "There is no traitor here." But they said that this man, Elisha, he has the capacity to hear everything you say, even the things you say in your bedroom. That's transport. He is a witness. He comes there in the spirit and he hears all the discussions. Transport. This first level of transport I'm talking about is transportation that is possible by the Spirit, where the Holy Ghost takes you to observe things and you don't need to physically change your location. Second level. Second level, you all know, is in the book of Acts chapter 8. From verse 27, after Philip the evangelist had finished discipling the Ethiopian eunuch and brought him to the point of baptism, you know the story. So let me reduce the scope of the reading to save time. Well, we can read it. "And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge over all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias, and said, understandest what thou readest? You see, this guy, he is not the only one that came to visit, to worship in Jerusalem. Because of the fat offering he gave, the priests at Jerusalem wanted to show appreciation, and they gave him the compendium of the book of Isaiah. We were never told that anybody was entitled to any scroll, but this man had his own personal scroll, courtesy of the priest. It was not in the service, it was at the back end. They say, we have never seen this generosity. Take Isaiah. So the guy was so excited. It was a great honor. He was in his chariot and he was reading out loud. But unfortunately, he did not understand what he was reading. And the Spirit of God, working in the life of Philip, instructed him to join himself to the chariot. And the first thing that Philip probed was whether there was understanding. Obviously, there was excitement. Obviously, there was joy. Obviously, there was ecstasy. There was motion and emotion. But Philip probed understanding. His understanding was yet unfruitful. And his response was this. Next verse. Oh my God. All right, let me open my own Bible. Because, and he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? So he actually knew that understanding was not available without guidance. Meanwhile, he enjoyed the read all the same. And he desired Philip that he should come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. Philip did not need to begin from another scripture, from the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And that's actually the content of the Bible, Jesus. The Bible speaks about a person. And so there was no need for Philip to reach out to other scriptures. Right there, the content, Jesus. If you have ever read the book of Luke chapter 24, verse 44 and 45, you will see Jesus saying that the content of the prophets, the Psalms, and the law of Moses, the content was about himself. And Philip was able to pick that out from the Bible. The Bible speaks about a person and his kingdom. Jesus and his kingdom. And he said unto him, these are the words which I... No. Just stay. Jesus Christ. Oh my God. Where are we? Just stay. Just stay, just stay where I said you should stay. Okay, next verse, 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? The eunuch was a good student. It means that even though Philip started pointing out Jesus from that scripture, Philip had covered ground. At this time, the necessity for water baptism after accepting Jesus Christ was already part of that Bible study, and it was just a chariot journey. I want you to see the skill that was at work in this man's ministry. So much so that the guy that was discipling was the one that was suggesting that this water is conducive for baptism. Philip had scored a point in the life of this man. Now, so, and all of that. And Philip said, if thou believest in thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Yeah? And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. I would like you to underline caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now, I would like you to check the emotion that the eunuch now has and compare it to the first emotion. This one was now rejoicing that stemmed from the heart. The first one was excitement. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave you excited. Excitement is not one of the things to expect as a product of spirit encounter. This guy was going back rejoicing. The full purpose of his mission, his pilgrimage, was accomplished. He knew it in his heart. And this was how the gospel came to Africa. I don't want to press on that. But my emphasis here is that the transport that Philip experienced was a total body transport. You see, we have the first level, it's a spirit transport. And he takes you to become a witness of things happening in a different location than when you are, than where you are. And then this second level is a full body transport. And in verse 40, the Bible says that Philip was found in Azotus. Just like when you are flying a plane, the pilot sets the compass on how the navigation should take place. But in the case of Philip, what determined where he appeared next was where there was an assignment. Assignment was the instrument of navigation that was at work in this particular experience. Hallelujah. That word, what word did I say should underline? He was caught away. That happens to be the same word that is associated with the rapture of the church. Because in rapture, it is a catching away. The dead in Christ, the Bible says, will rise first, and we that remain, what will happen to us? That's still the transport mode of the realm of the Spirit. I pray that God will open your eyes. Maybe as you are ministering, you are praying. I've had a very clear experience in this regard before. I was in prayer. I was on my knees. I was calling on the Lord. And Jesus Christ walked into my room. And when he walked into my room, he said, come with me. And my spirit left my body. I was still in that physical location. Are you with me? My spirit left my body, and we went around Benue State on a tour. Went to a place, and I was trying to describe the place where there was a grave, and people revered the grave. People were still, you know, the grave was hallowed in the eyes of them. And I found out that it was the village of one of my pastors. Jesus took me there, and Jesus pointed at the altar that was in that place, which was built on a grave. And he cursed it. Jesus, when he came to me, he was barefooted. So I was asking him, hey, master, how come you don't have shoes? Then that scripture came into my mind where God was speaking to Joshua, and he told him that wheresoever the sole of thy feet shall tread upon, it will be given to you as a possession. So we're going to possess lands. I was just a spectator. He was the one doing the things. He spoke to the altar fell. Then we vanished and appeared somewhere else. He spoke to that altar, the altar fell. We vanished again, we appeared somewhere else. He spoke to the altar fell. And he wanted to go and say, no. You have not solved all the problems. There's poverty, strange poverty in the land that is making believers compromise, making pastors lie. Solve the same way you have attacked these altars. Solve the problem of poverty. And he looked at me for a few minutes and he told me, I will return. But if you believe in me, I will give you all things. That's when he left. And I recovered myself still on my knees. I didn't change location in the natural, but I had traveled the whole expanse of the sensitive places of Benue State. I forgot to ask him another question. How long will I wait before you say I should believe in you? But experientially, the waiting period was, from that time, was 12 years. Because the things he said we need to prosecute ministry, they have started coming. And if you calculate from the time that he encountered me to the time that resources began to come for us to do his will, it was a 12-year interval. So I experienced that. I was taken in the spirit. And if you study your Bible, you will see once and again where God comes and he takes his prophets, like in the book of Ezekiel. God wanted to show Ezekiel the source of the dilemma that was in his city. And he sent an angel, and the angel held onto his locks and bore him up between heaven and earth and took him into the temple. Then he saw the guys that he thought that were elders in the house of God. They were actually worshiping the sun. You see, at every point in time, it will be needful for us to understand that society is always a mirror image of the church. If we are fraudulent, then society will be fraudulent. If we manipulate people to collect their money, then the elections in our country will be about money. Everything that we see in society is a reflection of what has been accepted in the church. And so if God is going to judge society, the first thing he needs to do is to bring his judgment first into the church and purge the church. And if the church is standing in righteousness toward him, he will have a platform to stand as a reference point before he judges society. And I think you are well aware that the judgment that we are talking about that is going to purge the body of Christ has already begun in Nigeria. There are going to be diverse expositions of people that have secret lives of iniquity, secret lives of sin, that is weakening our corporate strength and giving us a bad reputation in the land. If you are still with me, say amen. Transport. Hallelujah. Now let me move to another item quickly. I said that there are 12 interactions, 12 possible modes of interactions. In fact, those modes of interactions are interactions that connects heaven and earth. These interactions I'm talking about, you can actually participate in them even if you're on earth. And those 12 levels of interactions form the 12 pillars that define the civilization that is in the realm of heaven. The second pillar is food. There is food in heaven. There is what? Food in heaven. Now I don't know if I have enough time to prosecute this food matter. How will I start? Because this is a long journey. All right, give me Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. The scripture that I wanted to avoid. Are you there, please? And the Lord appeared unto him. The him there is Abraham. In the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. Are you with me? Okay, let me do something. Go to verse 1. Who appeared unto Abraham? All right, so go to verse 8. Now that you have confirmed that is the Lord that appeared unto him. This Abraham giving God food. Abraham sent someone to the backyard to get a little ram, to get milk, and to present it to the Lord. And the Lord ate man's food. The Lord ate a goosey. That's what I'm saying. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. I'm saying that God ate man's food. Is that clear? Then in the book of Numbers chapter 11, we see an invitation. Because man gave God his food, God now invited Moses and his colleagues to come up the mountain, and then God reciprocated the gesture and gave them his own food. And the reason why God ate man's food is so that man can eat God's food. And indeed, you can eat God's food now. You don't need to go to heaven to eat it. Because Elijah was running away from the threat that Jezebel gave him, and he ran to a juniper tree and begged that he should die. Instead of God killing him, what God did was that he sent an angel with angel's bread from the bakery in heaven. I know you don't believe that. So let's go to Psalms 78, if I'm not mistaken. Psalm 78, verse number 24 and 25. Psalm 78 from verse 24 and 25. The man was depressed. Isaiah wanted to die. He had signed up for death. And what God did to him was that he sent an angel to give him angel's bread. Now, 78 verse 24. And he rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them the corn of heaven. Talking about the children of Israel in the wilderness. Man did eat angel's food. That means that thing we call manna. What is it? Angel's food. Now, the question I need to ask you quickly is, what was the implication? When they ate angel's food, what was the implication? The implication was that there was no need for a boutique. Their garments grew on their body. For 40 years, there was no change of raiment. Huh? If you stay for 40 years, your size 41 will become size 42 at some point, 42.5 at some point. There was no need for a change of raiment. The supernatural dimension that manifested is that their shoes grew. When your leg becomes size 42, the same shoe will now become 42. And they didn't change garments all the way until they arrived the promised land. It was because they partook of angels' food. It means that mortal men like us can actually partake of the menu of heaven. In the case of Elijah, when he ate angel's bread, a strange thing happened. They gave him two doses. That was the first time a man was being fed and he had not walked. The angel was not feeding his hunger. It was not because of hunger that they brought food for him. The angel would... In the eyes of the angel, he can die of hunger. However, the angel said, rise and eat, because the journey is too what? not far, great. He was fed because of the great journey. And the evidence of the fact that you did not receive adequate feeding is that somewhere along your journey you will falter. When you see a man navigating in destiny, hallelujah, like Bonke, and in old age. Oh, how many of you saw him on the crusade ground? He was shaking from infirmity, but the authority upon his life was still steadfast. That's a man that took the second dose. You know they gave Elijah 2 doses. Some of you took one and you took off. It's in the winter, we'll know you don't have what it takes to survive. The reason for which he was fed was because of the journey that was too great for him. And the Bible says, when he rose up, he was able to walk 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mountain of God. Because of the angel's food that he ate, he walked and was not tired. You know, it's natural to walk, but it's not natural for you to walk and not be tired. It is supernatural for you to fly, but for the eagle, flying is natural. So the proof that you have eaten the bread of heaven is that you do the supernatural naturally and you do the natural supernaturally. It's natural to walk, but it's supernatural for you to walk and not be weary. It's supernatural for you to fly. You know, you say, we'll mount up with wings, or you're not with me. You're not here. I'm saying to you that the example that Elijah fulfilled when he ate angel's bread was that he walked and not be was not weary. And that takes us to the book of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 to 30. He says, "Has thou not known, has thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, is never weary? And there is no searching of his understanding. He gave a power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength." That's what he does. He gives power to the faint. "To them that have no might, increase their strength. For even the youth shall be weary. The youth shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles." They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They will do the supernatural naturally. They will walk and not faint. They will do the natural supernaturally. That's the proof that you have eaten heaven's bread. Meanwhile, the Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." The reason why he's knocking is so that he can introduce you to food. However, he will eat your own food first so that you can be comfortable eating his own food. "I will eat with you first, so that you can," what? "Eat with." So that's the reason why we wait upon the Lord, so that we can receive the renewal of strength that is a function of eating a good meal transmitted by the Lord. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. Number three, and I'm going to stop there. You will study the rest points. One of the points is war. It is because there was war in heaven, that's why there's war on earth. Everything that does not find expression in heaven, you will never see it on earth. Satan smuggled a war into heaven, and so the earth became compatible with wars. Are you with me? There are watchers in heaven, watcher angels in heaven. And the watcher angels will need compatriots on the earth. They will need partners on the earth. That's why they are watchers on earth. That's why there are people that God will assign to watch over territories, over nations. Because there is a watcher department in the heavens. I will end with this scripture. Now, give me back up there. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22. "And he showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and unto the Lamb. I forgot to show you Luke chapter 24, that Jesus ate with his glorified body. Do you remember Jesus? When he rose from the dead? Are you aware that he ate fish with his glorified body? Just to show you. And he ate physical fish. This fish, the one you ate yesterday. Jesus ate it with his glorified body. So in heaven there's food. But don't wait until you get to heaven before you eat. That's what I'm saying. Dead are wait on the Lord. They will renew their strength, which is what happens to you when you eat physical food. Then they will mount up with wings. They will do the supernatural naturally. And do the natural supernaturally. Exactly? In heaven there is rest. And when God finishes feat of creation, he rests. And the Bible reveals that that rest is a sign. It's a sign pointing to something in the civilization above. Every spirit being has an allocation of rest. Every, including God. Exodus. I think it's Exodus 31 verse 17. Yeah? Exodus 31 verse 17. This is, "And it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." Every spirit being has an allocation of rest. Are you with me? You are not with me. Only demonic spirits are not given any allocation of rest. Only demon spirits. But the Bible says that when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes about in dry places seeking rest and findeth none. There's no allocation of rest for demons. So they are restless. So they wander. I hope you know you are not a spirit, but you have a spirit. And there is an allocation of rest for that your spirit. Are you aware? Oh my God. I am saying that God made provision for your spirit to rest. That your spirit. For the Bible says, with the stammering of the lips. Remember, underline rest and refreshed. And then let me take you to a scripture quickly. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11 and 12. "For with the stammering of the lips and another tongue will I speak unto these people." This is Isaiah talking about speaking in tongues. "To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing." The same words used in Exodus. Rest and what?
Refresh.
He said, you will get it for your spirit. How? With the stammering of the lips. How do you get it? Saiko kaliko balama. Vulaita kupela minaziko iklombe. "For with the stammering of the lips and with a new tongue will I speak unto these people. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith he will cause the weary to rest, and this is the refresh." There's an allocation of rest for your own human spirit in the Holy Ghost. Because rest is part of the civilization of heaven. And the Bible is saying that we are to taste of the powers of the age to come. So every aspect of the civilization of heaven is available to us in a certain measure for us to begin to taste, to begin to experience. So through fasting, you can access food. and renew your strength. Through speaking in tongues, you can access rest, so that the weary can rest, so that the weary can be refreshed. Are you with me? I say, are you with me? Through encounters, you can access transport. And the God of heaven makes you an eyewitness of secret things. I want to end with a river. Revelation 22, verse 1. Revelation 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. This river is not for drinking. According to the book of Psalms 46, verse 4, this river that proceeds out of the throne of God, are you there in Psalms 46, verse 4? Is not for drinking. The Bible says there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. The reason why there will be no tear in heaven is because there is a river. This river makes glad the city of God. As it flows, anything like sorrow is swallowed up. God doesn't need to administer a divine handkerchief to wipe people's eyes. What does that is a river that makes it impossible for you to be sorrowful. It's not for drinking. And it happens to be the same river that Jesus spoke about in the book of John chapter 7, when he said, out of your belly we flow. That's the torrent of the Spirit of God flowing out of your vessel to influence your environment. That river has the capacity to make glad people that are oppressed by the devil. And if that river should flow out of you, their hope for deliverance, their hope for the experience of true joy is in the flow of this river. As ministers of the gospel, you are supposed to be a channel for this river. There is a river. There is what? I remember I went to visit a woman who just lost her husband. The people that were professional mourners were still on ground. They know what to do to pull the strings of your emotion to get you to cry. Because it's believed that if you have not cried enough, you are sick. You will be sick later. So when you cry, then you escape sickness. I went to visit, and the Holy Ghost moved on my heart. And when he moved on my heart, I began to prophesy. By the time I finished prophecy, the ability to mourn, even from the professional mourners, it was swallowed up. There was a river. The capacity. Oh, Jesus Christ. It was swallowed up instantly. I saw that scripture come alive. There is what? A river. It is this river that God wants us to take to the nations, held under captivity, held in bondage, held in fetters, held in chains. He said, he showed me a pure water of the river of life, clear as crystal. I don't have time to walk it. To show you how that it was that river that God planted in Eden. And it branched into four heads. Pishon, Gishon, Euphrates, Hedekah. But nations claimed it. He removed it. And then the New Testament, he now planted it. The fountainhead in us. That from our innermost being, this river that is as clear as crystal is not anything close to any body of water you have seen. It makes glad the city of God. Woo! It flows out of you. And through the Spirit, God has given us the grace to be able to taste of the powers of the age to come, of the dynamics of the civilization that is domiciled in heaven yonder. So that when eventually you arrive heaven, you are not a stranger. You have operated. Hey, oh my. There is a river. Please help me tell your neighbor, there is a river. This morning, before we commission our brethren into ministry, we want to drink that river. It makes glad. It makes glad. It makes glad the city of God. I lost a brother of mine this year. A good guy. A good guy. Oh my God. He's a good guy. Very good guy. Maybe the best of all of us. And the sorrow was great. And as I lay before God in prayer, I was hooked up to the river. And this river makes what? It makes glad. It paralyzes every form of sorrow. Oh my. Did you come here with a pain? Did someone manipulate you and it broke your heart and you've been carrying that scar? The reason why the scar is still there is because you have not touched the river. The river has its own will. It has its own mind. And it swallows up everything sorrow and make the cities of heaven glad. We are going to drink of that river in a moment of time. Ooh, before we commission our brothers and our sister. There is a river. We are taking this river to the nations of the world. There's captivity, there's bondage. And the moment that river begins to walk, it makes glad. I've seen that before in a village we went to preach. And the power of darkness was destroyed. By the time we were going, the people in the village were glad. It makes glad. The devil will think that he has finished with you. That this blow that he gave you now is going to put you on the ground for a long time. Ooh, all God needs to do is to connect your vessel to the river. Someone broke your heart. He was supposed to get married to you and he disengaged. Man, there is a river. You can receive your liberty this morning because the river is going to flow in this place. God is going to make manifest his mighty hand. You need to take that river back to Togo. That river must go back to Ghana. That river must go back to Oklahoma. The river must go back to. It's going back to London with you. It makes glad. It makes glad. It makes glad. It makes glad. Can you hook up with the river? As it flows through your vessel, it makes glad. We ministers of the gospel are supposed to take this river. Anywhere it goes, it makes glad. It breaks yokes.
It sets at liberty. There are some people in the body of Christ that you cannot just make sorrowful. Depression is not part of the possibilities around them because there is a river. You are taking it to Togo. Togo shall be free again. You are taking it to Kenya. Kenya shall be free again. There is a river. The streams thereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. It is this river that you have taken back to your nation. England will never be the same again. You are taking it back to Imo State, taking it back to Enugu State, taking it back to Edo State, taking it back to Taraba State. There is a river. There is a river. There is a river. The streams thereof can make glad.
Amanda.
What it takes to make the nations glad. It's a river. A river. And you are taking the river. I just had a vision now while we prayed. And I saw that the river wants to manifest as healing. Now, there is a river. It wants to manifest as healing. Oh my God. Oh my God. I just had another vision now again. And I'm seeing four ladies. I saw four ladies. And there was a pot of fire on their head. Four ladies. There are four ladies. And in the next few seconds, fire will fall on four ladies. Fire. Fire will fall on four ladies. Fire will come on four ladies. It will come so strong. It will come so powerfully. Fire will descend on four ladies. On four ladies. In the name of Jesus. Now. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask these four ladies that you brought here so that you can ignite them. I ask that you stretch forth your hand and pour out on these four ladies. Pour out. Pour out. Pour out. Pour out on them. All right, so he's coming. He's coming. He's coming so strong. There's something. There's a deposit. There's a deposit he wants to bring on you. A deposit. A deposit. Lord, perfect that deposit. Perfect it. Perfect that deposit in the name of Jesus. Wow. The anointing increases. The river is here. Thank you, Lord. Ushers, if you find the four ladies, I want to see them quickly. I just want to touch them. We are supposed to take the river everywhere. To those hard places. Northern Nigeria, Northern Ghana. The hard lands. They cannot resist the river. Because it makes glad the city of God. Hallelujah. I want to pray for the sick briefly before. Ushers, I'm looking for three more people so that I can pray for them. Help me find them. You cannot resist the river. You can't resist it. You can't resist it. You can't resist the river. It is the will of God for you to travel with this river. Hallelujah. I just need to touch them. I just need to touch. Just to touch them. Grace. We will do a 15 minutes healing moment. 15 minutes. Oof. Yeah, bring her, bring her, bring her. In the name of Jesus. It's a river. Sister Gifty, come. Lord, let there be an increase in her ministry. In the name of Jesus. Listen, some people's hearts are open, and if your heart is open, you'll receive the healing anointing before I pray for the sick. I'm seeing five people. The healing anointing will come upon you. You will feel it like heat. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask, distribute the healing anointing. Distribute the healing anointing. Distribute the healing anointing. Distribute the healing anointing. So it's coming already. It's coming. It's coming. Distribute the healing anointing. Hallelujah. Now listen. There is a very strong healing anointing this morning. Very strong. Very, very strong. If you can connect with it, you'll be healed. For those of you that have eye defects, lay your hands on your eyes. For those of you that have hearing challenges, put this finger in the ear that cannot hear. Those of you online, you are a part of what is happening. God wants to send healing your way. Hallelujah. Put your hand where the pain is. Put your hand where the pain is. I've been seeing a brother carrying crutches around. If the brother is here, touch the legs. If I say in the name of Jesus, say amen. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, this morning, I bind every sickness, every disease, every curse, every negative inheritance. I bind in the name of Jesus. Growths, fibroids, cancers, dissolve in the name of Jesus. Glaucoma, short-sightedness, long-sightedness, go in the name of Jesus. I command every form of abdominal pain to disappear in the name of Jesus. Hey, I'm seeing someone participating online. You have a skin condition. A skin condition. Let the fire of the Holy Spirit burn up that skin condition in the name of Jesus. There's a lady in the congregation that has not seen her menstrual cycle for some time. Oh, by the power of God, let there be a restoration. A restoration. A restoration. A restoration. In the name of Jesus. Difficulties in sleeping, let it be restored in the name of Jesus. Situations that have a demonic link, I command that spirit, go in the name of Jesus. Now I release the healing anointing. Let it begin to flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. There's a demon that is leaving someone. A demon. And you'll feel as if something left you. Loose in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. The person that felt that something left you, I want to see you. Join me here. You felt that something left your body. Join me here. So you can check your body. If you felt that something left your body, join me in the pulpit area. You can check your body. If you notice there is a change, I will take two testimonies and then we continue with the assignment. And you people can be sure. You can be sure that the healing anointing will rest on you. There's a lot of it this morning. It will rest on you. Hallelujah. Ogbe, help me. Where's Ogbe? Something changed in your body. You can join us here. And if you are that person that something left you, come and share the experience before we proceed. Please, you may be seated for a few minutes. You know, when the rivers are present, you know, my friend's wife, Rebecca, she's a medical person. So when I prayed for the sick the first night, she went and interviewed the person and confirmed that, okay, there was actually a healing. Because she didn't believe it. She has never seen it before. Rivers. The rivers we carry, if it has worked on a man, you can take him to the lab and you verify the healing we are talking about. Yeah?
The woman that I saw in my vision that made me start praying for the sick, I've not seen her yet. There is a woman. There's a woman I saw that God wants to heal. God has already healed her. She's quite fair. She's quite fair. I've not seen her here yet. Yes? Okay, what happened?
Yes, this brother, he said he came here. There's a condition that he had been laboring with for the past 18 years.
Okay.
He felt as if there was something tied around his navel.
Navel, okay.
That occasioned a great deal of inconvenience. But when the prayer was prayed, he said he felt something. He felt it loose.
Come out.
The team.
Okay. Yeah. Come up. Can we celebrate the Lord? For 18 years, you had that experience, and you felt it loosen up. Okay. Yes, indeed, you are healed. There's a thermostat I have on my hands. Healing thermostat. There were some people I promised that I'm going to pray for during this service. Where are you? Okay, come. That's one of them. Yeah? Father, in the name of Jesus, this arrow that was shot at him, let it break. Let it break. Let it break in the name of Jesus. Chief, come. Put your hand on his stomach. There's a demon that needs to come out. Yeah. Lose your hold. Lose your hold. In the name of Jesus Christ. Remove it. Check. Yeah? Don't go. Just be checking. Okay. This dark cloud, I arrest you. I break you. I remove you. Lord, let your servant enter the next level of ministry, the next level of grace, the next level of assignment in the name of Jesus. Yes? Father, in the name of Jesus, I disconnect your daughter from any link whatsoever. Any spirit, I set her at liberty in the name of Jesus Christ. Be free from today henceforth in Jesus' name. Yes? Quickly. Grace. Let the covering cast be taken from you. In the name of Jesus, I bind the enemy. Loose her! In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If I didn't ask you to see me, then I'll pray for you. Don't stand there. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. You are released. Yeah? Come. Quickly. Grace. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Ogbe.
Yes, this brother released. Also.
You are released. There is a woman that I'm supposed to see here. Go on.
He said there is a spirit that usually grants him company wherever he goes.
He keeps in company.
Yes, okay. He keeps in company. He don't know when specifically the thing entered. But he said during the course of the ministration, the team pulled out of him.
They pulled out of him.
And he had a verifiable experience to establish when.
For how long have you been in that condition?
Almost a year, sir.
Almost 1 year.
Yes, sir.
You went to a wrong place. See your wounds. Can we celebrate the Lord for this deliverance? Yes, you are released.
There is a fair woman that God healed in this service. I'm waiting for you. Two of you come up. It's one woman I saw. So two of you come. We'll find out which one. Climb up, climb up, climb up, climb up. Yes?
This brother since birth.
You people can sit down. Huh? Sit down. I didn't give you an appointment that I'll pray for you here. Father, in the name of Jesus, the woman that you showed me, if she is here, if she's one of these ones, show me by power. Let your power descend from above. Let your power descend from above, from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. Let it flow. Let it flow in the name of Jesus. Let it come stronger. Let it come stronger. Let it come stronger. Indeed, you are the one. Now, this kind of person that is under the Holy Ghost, now, this person can be sad because the river makes glad. Let it be stronger. Let it be stronger. Let it be stronger from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Yeah. That thing that is on your abdomen, I cut it off. I cut it off. I cut it off in the name of Jesus. That link is taking blood from your body. I cut it off in the name of Jesus. Loser. Hey, somebody is benefiting from you. He's taking your blood. He's taking your blood. He's taking your blood. Father, in the name of Jesus, I resist that agent of darkness that is taking blood from this woman. In the name of Jesus. Yes.
So hey. This brother.
Hey. Hey. Oh my. Amato kopreketeli kosamunatalia. Emino soria barakatami iskobea. Do you realize that someone in this congregation, they took your name? They took your name somewhere. They took your name somewhere. They took your name somewhere. Father, in the name of Jesus, can you help me show me that one who was taken, whose name was taken? Come here, come here, come here. What do you want me to do to these people? Okay. Father, let the healing be perfected. Let it be perfected. Lose her! Yes, where are those two people? Quickly. You don't come to the house of God to die. Aiko samantale. Ure maikosi. Ure ma santoye. You see, the details of that transaction is withheld. The details. They are details. They are details. They are details. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Aiko minasilo. Uma. Yakakani. Kulema. Kaiko isaita amperu no siko aya kodi kabaite ana baba. Yes, sick, sick, kobi no siko vuta bakasimina. Can you do me a favor? Put your finger on our umbilical cord now. Put yeah. Oh, okay. From the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, let the yoke break. Yes, Ogbe.
This brother had an eye condition. It is a combination of both long-sightedness and short-sightedness.
Long-sightedness and short-sightedness is equal to blindness. You are both long-sighted and short-sighted. You are blind. So what happened to him?
So when you prayed, the evidence was that he couldn't read.
Okay, you can't read.
But when you prayed, immediately he could read. So
Give him the mic. Let me hear.
I sat far away from the other side.
Okay.
When I enter, when I entered the church,
okay,
I was looking. I was reading from the other from the back screen there, the front back screen. Okay. I couldn't see whatever that was written there.
You couldn't see whatever was written on the
yes, on the
board.
Screen. Yes, but during the course of the administration, I put two hands on my
put
eyes.
Put two
like
hands
this.
On his eyes.
But when you are getting instruction.
Yeah.
When you want to round up the ministration, I felt a heat on my two fingers.
That's a healing anointing.
Then,
as I
leave the hands,
like heat.
I test the eyes from the last
okay,
side.
Okay, so he like conducted read. His own test. Somebody shout hallelujah. Rebecca. So this is a miracle because she said, how will you just pray and eyes will open? And she ran her own medical. There is a river. Hallelujah. Now, how can this man be depressed now? The river has touched him. He's glad. come and receive a blessing. Yeah? We don't have time.
Yes,
we don't have
this
time.
Brother, his situation has no friendly way of describing it.
You are healed. I can sense it. Go.
But
Jesus,
from childhood,
there's no way to describe it.
Yes, there is a procedure that usually run every single night, and the byproduct of it is that it left him in huge pain
in the night.
Lower abdomen every single day. It will run through the night, and then the manifestation is that the pain will accompany him through
the
whole day.
So
and
what happened
in the night,
to you?
It will.
That's a demon.
But okay. Since childhood, at the instance of the prayer, he felt the touch, the literal touch of God, and something pulled out of him.
Give him. Yeah? What was the experience like?
I was sitting down upstairs, and where you were praying, and you mentioned a demon issue.
Yeah.
I just felt a pull out of my system.
It pulled out of his system. Can somebody say amen to Jesus? Amen, amen. We'll give you praise. We don't have time. Yes, sister, come. In Jesus' clinic, even people that are healed, we have a test for them to know if it will be permanent. Let her walk up. Walk up here. God brought you so that he can set you free. Yeah, it has not finished. But you will be, it will finish on this altar. It will finish. I break it. I destroy it in the name of Jesus. I bring you forth. I call you forth. Come out. Come out of that grip. From that stranglehold. Yeah. Glory to God. Yes. You felt something left you?
Yes.
Yeah, you? The thing came this night.
Yes, early morning.
Come on. Now, I can't continue this, okay? But I will bless all of you. Ah. Yes, you are healed. The demon will not return. Are there miracles online? Do you have online situations? Now, all of you here, we can't take your testimony, so we'll bless you. Okay, the hand of God will come on one person. Jesus Christ. I think I need to touch you people. Now, I want you to hear what this demon is. He said, this demon is communicating.
She's a great woman of God.
Now, wait, there's a reason why we're in class. Huh? This is a lecture. Demons are capable of seizing people's vocal cords and communicating. Number one, when demons begin to speak, I'm just showing evidence that the demon is speaking. Do not try to start a discussion with demons. The reason why I put the mic there, that's not how I normally do, is to show you that the demon is trying to communicate, okay? Do not try to, if I've touched you, go back to your seat. The Lord bless you. Did I touch you? Do not try to start a conversation with the demons. Where did you come from? I came from the river of Zambia. Huh? Mm-mm. Take him. Do not initiate discussions with demons. That's number one. Is that clear? Number two, if you are casting out a spirit that has already started talking, when the demon is talking, don't say anything. Just walk away and be doing something else. When the demon has finished talking, like now, that's when you cast it out. If you start attempting to cast out the demon when he's talking, a scene will be created and you will look foolish. Are you with me? Now, so this demon is on her stomach here. Put your hand there. Pray in tongues for 2 minutes. She'll be free. So you can watch the practicals. So all the ordinands can rise up to their feet. It is your ordination to transmit the rivers of God to every location where you find yourself. Can you step forward? Step forward, come forward, come closer. And give me one little space to be able to move in front of you and do. Yeah? You know this place is so long, so we can have just one line. Don't talk with demons. Don't interact and say, where are you from? What's it? Why are you here? No. Jesus is our example. The apostles are our examples. And such people that have followed Jesus faithfully, they are our examples to create a pattern for us. Are you with me? So don't go about asking demons questions. Because the Bible reveals that the native language of demons, of Satan, are lies. So all those things the demons are saying are lies. And then you are making a name out of lies. If you check, you will discover that the demon is no longer there. Bring her upstage. Let's, so that the practical of this lecture can go down. The reason why I don't, those ones that talk, I'm not the one that does the deliverance, ushers, anywhere in the world. The hand of God will come on you now. Pastor Tony, do you have oil? Brothers and sisters, I want us to stretch our hands in their direction and pray for them. The Lord will come upon you. The hand of the Lord will come upon you. Grace, like a fountain, will come upon your life. Miracles, you will see your ministry. Signs, wonders. Oh, your voice will be heard. Kofles kofita kabela minaita kumbela. Sikobre kuntale. You can pour it in. We bring you this morning to the place of honor in the kingdom of God. That place of pure service that is pleasing in the sight of the Lord. By this anointing this morning, receive grace to serve God in such a way that is acceptable. And His hand will never leave you. His hand will never leave you. From this day, I proclaim grace. Grace. His hand will never leave you. I proclaim grace on you. The ability to walk in the gift of faith and to see miracles. Grace. In the name of Jesus Christ. No weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. Grace. Grace. Grace upon grace. The hand of God upon your life will be strong. Grace, wisdom, strength comes upon your life today in the name of Jesus Christ. Grace, wisdom, and strength. The ability never to retreat, never to surrender to the enemy. Say grace. Grace. Wisdom. Strength. Grace. Capacity to be consistent until that which God has spoken comes to pass. Grace. Wisdom. Strength. Grace. Wisdom, strength, power, and mind. Grace, wisdom, strength, power, and mind. Ooh, ooh, a burning and a shining light. Yabosiko, grace, kofitamina lahubata. Grace. Now let your destiny open up. Let it open up. Resistances are taken away and grace descends. Insufficiencies are cut off. Oh yes, arise, shine. Grace, 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 because you will see great things. Grace comes upon you. I bless you. I bless you. I bless you. In the name of Jesus, I proclaim grace upon you, blessings and strength. Grace I proclaim, blessings and strength. The gift of faith, the ability to walk miracles by the Holy Ghost. Grace, blessings, and strength. Yes, you will always run in the direction of your conviction. The Lord will shine from within you so brightly that you will never be confused. Grace. Grace and power. Grace and power be upon you in the name of Jesus Christ. Wisdom, strength, and healing. The Lord shines on you in the name of Jesus. The apostolic spirit that God has given you will yet bear witness, will yet proclaim the kingdom with signs, with wonders, with miracles and diverse confirmations. Your spirit is strengthened. Grace upon your life. grace upon your life. Grace upon your life in the name of Jesus. Oh, I saw sile kendo minala broski fote pere kantele. Grace upon your life in the name of Jesus. Grace upon your life in the name of Jesus. From this day henceforth, mount up with wings like the eagle. No weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. The hand of God rests mightily over you, and His grace beautifies you. From this day henceforth, in the name of Jesus. I see you have capacity. Grow in grace in the name of Jesus. From today, He causes your face to shine. Nothing will be too strong for you. In all the territories where you are domiciled, they say, oh, there are cultists there. They kill people there. People vanish there. They kidnap there. Nothing in these territories will be too strong for you. Go in this thy might. And the giants of your land will hear your voice and tremble. We bless you. Let the gifts of the Spirit in your life pop up. The gift of word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discernment of spirit. Let it pop up. You will no longer be blind in the spirit. Before danger comes, you will see it. Aike Santoria. The Lord empowers you today. As He protects you, no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. In the name of Jesus.